film and literature are full of stories of people doing crazy things for love. Romeo and Juliet sacrificed their family, loyalty, and their lives. Jack froze to death to rescue Rose as the Titanic sank into the icy Atlantic. And Ann Arbor-based writer R.J. Fox boarded a plane to Ukraine to propose to a woman he had met only once. He details his crazy adventure in a new memoir titled Love and Vodka, My Surreal Adventures in Ukraine. R.J. Fox joins us now to tell us more. Welcome to Current State.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So how
I love the comparison to Titanic. That
appropriate or not?
Well, in a symbolic way, but I'll get to that in a second. But
okay.
Yeah, that's... thank you once again.
Sure. How is it you ended up on that plane to Ukraine with a ring in your pocket?
That is a great question. I ask myself that every day. So back in 2000, I had gone to Universal Studios. I was there on a cold, rainy day in L.A., and I was out there for some screenwriting seminars because my first sort of writing venture was in screenwriting. And I just happened to follow this girl onto, it always sounds like I'm a stalker, which I guess I have to just accept that fact. So I spotted a girl also by herself. I was by myself, and I ended up riding the ET ride with this person who turned out to be from Ukraine. We struck up just a 20-minute conversation. She had to leave, and she was actually living in Mississippi at the time as an exchange student. We spoke just 20 minutes, exchanged contact info, became pen pals, and then less than a year later, I had the harebrained idea to take a ring over there and propose, and that led to just some crazy adventures in a very... very crazy, but very fascinating country and culture.
Sounds like a special 20 minutes, though, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty mundane, run-of-the-mill, just, you know, of course, you know, the Hollywood setting maybe made it seem even more romantic, but there's nothing romantic, actually, about those 20 minutes. It was just a very, you know, sort of, hi, how are you, where are you from? You know, and then over time, as we started writing to each other through, you know, through email and chat, we got to kind of know each other and became... you know, in many ways, soulmates, and it just felt like something that I just had to do. I mean, she just felt like the one. And so, yeah, I boarded that plane. And
what were you thinking as you were getting on that plane?
I was thinking, I hope my parents don't really realize I have an engagement ring in my pocket, which I was able to sneak on.
And you didn't tell your parents you were planning to propose to Katya.
Nope.
What was their reaction when you told them that you were flying across the ocean to see a girl you'd only met once in person?
Exactly. They thought it was kind of strange, but, you know, they knew they had a strange son on their hands, and it didn't seem that out of character for me to do that. I mean, they definitely were a little cautious, but, of course, had they known I was going there to propose, they probably would have talked me out of it, which is exactly why I didn't tell them. Now, in hindsight, they were probably right, because the marriage lasted 8 years, and it ultimately did not pan out the way, you know, we had hoped it would, but the 8 years of marriage overall had some great moments, and particularly the trip that I took, again, back in 2000, just these amazing, surreal experiences, which are highlighted in the book.
When you got to Ukraine, you stayed with Katya, is her name, Katya's family, who are quite the characters themselves. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, well, you know, her parents were definitely from the sort of old school Soviet era. You know, they grew up during the Cold War. You know, she was born at the end of the era, but her parents definitely were right there in the heart of it. And, you know, and the city that it takes place in, Dnipropetrovsk, was a closed city during the Soviet Union. It was very, basically nobody could get in there who wasn't in that city already. And it was also sort of the center of missile building during the Cold War. So it was, so all the missiles being made that, you know, aimed our way were being built right in that town. So there was sort of a general distrust towards outsiders, even at, you know, and again, maybe things have changed since 2000, but at the time there was still, you know, especially out in public. In private, it was a whole different matter. I mean, in homes and in the families and friends we visited, very warm and inviting, and these great toasts that were like poems. And but then, you know, out in public, it was always, you know, don't speak English, and the glares I would get. Taking a picture of a person's goat got me into a lot of trouble, which is one of the highlights of the book. So it was this kind of dichotomy of public life versus private life, and just that Soviet distrust that sort of, you know, in many ways, a stereotype, definitely, just like the vodka, were very much true in my limited experience with the culture.
But it was the family that you were about to marry into had a lot of this distrust of foreigners, including Katya's babushka. or grandmother.
Right, especially her.
Yeah.
I think the older the person, the more distrust they had towards especially towards Americans. And I think it just makes sense with the history that there would be that sort of that distrust of the Western world. And here I was, just, you know, I would be called foreigner a lot by random people. And, you know, and I think, you know, her parents were definitely very gracious, you know, very accepting and very, you know, it took a while to warm up to them, but they definitely, or warm up to me, I should say. I guess it went both ways.
R.J. Fox is the Ann Arbor-based author of Love and Vodka, a memoir about his time spent in Ukraine pursuing his future wife. When did you decide, R.J., that you wanted to turn these experiences into a memoir?
You know, that's pretty much right away after I came back from the trip, or even during the trip, because I always think like a writer, like, oh, this would be great for a, well, at the time as a movie script, because that's when I first started writing it as. So this is, I came back in September 2001, just before 9/11, actually. And started writing the book just weeks after that, the screenplay. So finished it as a script, optioned it to a producer, thought it was going to actually get made into a movie, but then it sort of got stalled. When the producer dropped the project after the option expired, I decided to, rather than just cry about it, I decided to turn it into what became the book. So I was able to kind of build off of what was already an outline, a skeleton of the whole story. I was able to then add in all the stuff that couldn't fit into the constraints of a screenplay. And it actually was very liberating to be able to write the full story as it happened, as opposed to more of like the Hollywoodized approach to it that I had to do with the producer. So I knew it was going to be it had to be written down, and whether it was going to get published or not, you know, remained to be seen. But fortunately, Fish Out of Water Books took a chance on me, and it's been a great few months trying to get the word out there about the book and sharing the experiences.
The book is called Love and Vodka. R.J. Fox of Ann Arbor is the author. You write a lot about a lot of memorable moments in Ukraine. Is there any one experience that was really a lot of fun to write about?
You know, ironically, the one that was probably the most fun to write about was the one I least remembered, and I could thank my good friend Vodka for that one. There's a scene called, or a chapter called The Sobering Method, where I basically learned how Ukrainians, or at least her family, sobered up their drunken guests that were force-fed vodka with one toast after another. And literally, just in a nutshell, I was stripped down to just my underwear and forced to march back and forth on a rocky road barefoot, which it must have worked because I did not wake up hungover, but I certainly...
good times.
I had to be... A lot of that part of the story had to be kind of reminded to me back by my... at the time, my wife, who had to explain to me exactly what had happened in detail, because I could not remember every moment of that.
What do you think were the biggest lessons that the Ukraine chapter of your life taught you?
I would say just an appreciation and a more sort of open-minded approach to other cultures, you know, as opposed to just sort of judging another culture for being so different, sort of learning to embrace the differences and realizing that, you know, even in a society where there's a lot of poverty and strife, there could still be a lot of happiness and an appreciation of life. And I think maybe even more so than people who have a lot more that we take for granted. So I think it just, you know, and at the time I was in my early 20s and now I'm late 30s. So I feel like I definitely have a more, I guess you could say, mature understanding of the world than I would have had before the trip. So it definitely opened my eyes to just a whole other life, which I only knew superficially about, as opposed to actually being immersed into it.
Does the film idea still have legs, RJ?
Well, in my mind, for sure. I mean, my ultimate goal is to come full circle back to the movie. Of course, I have, you know...
Who would play you? Who would play you?
That's a good question. There's been different actors in mind over the years. Recently, and it's somebody who doesn't even look at me in the least, but Aziz Ansari from his Netflix show, Master of None. Watching his new show made me realize this guy could totally play... I want to say a character because it is sort of a character, even though it's me. Just the way he portrays that character on his show would be perfect for Love and Vodka. I've thought about people like John Krasinski from The Office, Zach Braff, but that might have been, I think they're both maybe too old for the part at this point versus a few years back. So, yeah, there's certainly a long list of actors I have in mind and actresses. But I'm hoping that's my ultimate goal, is to still see this get done as a film. I think it would just be a great, funny, romantic comedy with kind of like a My Big Fat Greek Wedding meets Lost in Translation. So I'm going to keep fighting until it happens, and I'm hopeful based on how well the book has done just initially here. I'm optimistic. I'm on the right track towards that part of it.
We wish you luck.
Whether I'm delusional or not is a whole other thing.
R.J. Fox is an Ann Arbor-based writer and the author of the memoir Love and Vodka, My Surreal Adventures in Ukraine. R.J., best of luck. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.